Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back to talk some more baseball here on Drive Time Sports. It is Monday, and of course we save Mondays for Bill Lasky, who joins us to recap everything that's happening in the majors. A lot is going on right now as the races in the National League just continue to heat up. The American League, maybe not so much. Plus, we have the official All-Star rosters now set in stone. Bill, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. Thank you.
It's always great talking baseball on a Monday, especially reviewing the week as we do all the time. And everybody knows by now, if they're listening, I'm a big Giants fan out here, and they went into Colorado last week and got swept. So it wasn't a good week for the Giants. They went 2-5, but they're only 3.5 games out in the National League West. Flip of the coin as we get to the All-Star break.
Of course, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, spent his time with the Giants and now covers the Giants with NBC Sports Bay Area and also on the radio. Bill, we talk about the Giants, 47-45. They've played 500 baseball their last 10 games. Guess what? So have the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks are below 500 baseball their last 10 games. The Rockies, on the other hand, have won 8 out of 10. That's how close this division is. If you play 500 baseball during a 10-game span, you may drop a couple of spots in the standings, and lo and behold, the Rockies are back above the 500 mark, and they're only 3.5 out.
No doubt about it, and like I said before, Colorado played them very well. Freeman pitched extremely well. He's doing a real good job for the Rockies. But Arenado, just a super player there, could be an MVP this year. And then as you look through the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, both struggled. Giants struggled also. And you know, you've got a four-team race there, and that's going to be fun the second half.
It definitely is. And again, I just keep waiting for one of these teams to take over in this division. Bill, now that we're almost 90 games into the season, I'm just going to accept the fact that maybe no one team is going to take over, and this is going to be a race all the way down to the final couple of weeks of the season.
I really believe that could happen. But then again, you know, you start looking at some of the trade bait out there. Machado's been talked to at the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. If they do land some of these big names off the Orioles, off the Reds, even the Royals, there's going to be some nitpicking. But again, these teams are always going to try to build and rebuild with free agents as well as trades. And both organizations have such a strong minor league system that a lot of those names are attracted to some of these teams that are trying to rebuild.
Bill, you mentioned some of the trade bait, and I don't want to get too far off of the path, but before I forget to ask you this question, I'm going to throw it out there right now. Manny Machado. We know that Machado is going to come with a heavy price because, well, for one, he's only 26 years old. This kid can flat out play the game of baseball, and I think he's going to bolster anyone's offense almost immediately. The Orioles are so bad at 65-24 that I really believe they are going to ask for a king's ransom here over the next couple of weeks for Machado. On the flip side of that, knowing what Machado is going to bring this offseason, Scooter Gennett, who is an all-star for the Cincinnati Reds, and again, if you're looking for middle infield help, he's got to be available because this is a team that's now 12 games under 500. I'm almost wondering if Gennett, who's batting 326, may not be the safer option for teams trying to land a some help at the trade deadline, middle infield-wise.
Yeah, that's a great observation. And, you know, you're starting to hear the Brewers starting to think that there could possibly pick up Machado, and they're talking about 3-4 maybe top minor leaguers. So you're absolutely right. I think the Machado tag is going to draw some big-name minor leaguers, and who's going to give it up and then try to re-sign him unless that is part of the deal. So, you know, you're looking at that. Scooter Gennett is definitely another name out here, Oakland, with Lowry, who didn't get picked up in the All-Star game. He's got 16 home runs, having a great year, and that's another guy under the radar that could bolster middle infield. So we're going to see how this translates the next 15 days or so before the All-Star or after the All-Star break is over, when the trading deadline gets to an end. And we're going to see if something gets moved even before the All-Star game. They're talking about Machado maybe be moved this week.
Definitely a storyline to follow in baseball. I am a little bit surprised that Machado was still wearing a Baltimore jersey. To me, and again, I could be off on this, Bill, you're around major league officials often. It seems with every passing day, Baltimore loses a little bit more leverage. At least that's the way I view it from the outside.
I agree, and there's some other players. You know, you're talking about Jones also. That's another trade bait name. I'm just really, really surprised how bad they've been playing. Trying to follow them, and you look at their record, as you just mentioned, it's just terrible. And I'm wondering, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to keep the manager? Are they going to keep Buck Showalter? Are they going to move somebody else in there? What are the changes they're going to do? What are they going to try to do for this Baltimore organization, who was a stellar organization a few years ago? So, you know, you've got the Yankees and the Red Sox, who are still devastating that league. There's nobody even going to touch those two. 62 wins already for the Red Sox. This blows me away. And then you look at Cleveland, who's starting to take that division over. Minnesota, I think 9.5 or 9 out. And then you look out here in the AL West and Seattle and Houston. Houston, 30 games over 500. And I just look at the American League. It pretty much dictates who's going to be in the wild card already, who's going to win a division. And the second half, is this going to be played out? Hopefully nobody gets hurt and injury-riddled top teams. And it's just sad for baseball in the American League, because fans are going out to teams that are 15, 20, 30 games out of first place. And baseball, that's the thing that's hurting baseball in American League this year.
No doubt about it. I mean, again, if you look at the American League front to back, we know that the Red Sox or Yankees will win the AL East. We know Cleveland is going to win the AL Central. I believe Houston will win the AL West. But even if Houston doesn't, let's say Boston and New York, there's two of the five playoff spots right there. Cleveland has the third spot. It's Houston and Seattle, and with an outside chance, you have Oakland, who would have to make up seven games. Our five teams are more than likely set, barring Oakland really playing some great baseball over the next 70 games.
They sure are. They're 10 over 500 right now. They have Houston for three games, and out here they have the Bay Bridge series coming up before the All-Star game, three at AT&T, and then right after the All-Star break, they have three in Oakland, and it's, you know, a lot of words going back and forth out here, and, you know, the challenges, that's the big thing, and you always see crosstown rivalries, but this year, both teams are trying to play pretty well. The Giants just have been inconsistent, and it should be a good series both ways, but you're absolutely right. Oakland's got to pick up something to try to catch Seattle, and that's going to be difficult to try to get a wild card spot by chasing them.
Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher, as we talk some of the hot storylines in baseball. Bill, let's talk All-Star Game here for a moment. Now, for those who are unaware of your history, I know you have some history with the All-Star Game, and looking at it, you know, in today's realm, there are a lot of people that were snubbed over the weekend, and to be honest, I know it's an exhibition game that really doesn't mean a lot, especially now that the World Series home field is no longer part of the equation, but at the same time, there are so many deserving names that were left off the All-Star roster. And to be quite frank, I know it's an exhibition for, you know, for family-friendly events. I get all this. I get all the, you know, the groundwork, the cookie-cutter groundwork of it. But at the same time, there are deserving players that should be an All-Star this year.
No doubt about it. And it happens every year. And you start looking at numbers and statistics and the lowest earned run average, the highest batting average, and they're not even on the team. I don't know why Major League Baseball just doesn't expand it for a couple more players and make everybody deserving to go. And you had players voting in the middle of June, and the last couple weeks there's been some deserving players that have gotten hot. And now they're not even being mentioned. The final vote, of course, you get the top five guys that they believe, and everybody stuffs the ballot box to try to vote the guy in. Brandon Belt being out here, and Giants fans are trying to just cast as many votes as they can. That's how we got it. In 2016, he was voted in, and the Giants fans are really good at voting. But, again, I look at, just like you're saying, the deserving players that should be in aren't, and there should be some kind of change in the voting or something at the end where they add some players and make the rosters expand a little more.
It's not a popular opinion based off name recognition. But Bryce Harper...
No, you know, it's sad, because when you think about it, these guys are busting their tail for the first half, and some of them are having career years, and they're going to watch the All-Star game instead of being there, being recognized. And you and I talk about this before, and it's just bad for baseball. When you're trying to get attendance, you're trying to get the people back invested in baseball, and you got some of the players that are really, really doing well, and they're not being added to that roster.
Yeah, it's not popular, but I'll say it. Bryce Harper's not an All-Star this year, Bill. He's not.
I agree. I agree with the batting average, and the name definitely got in there. The fans voted him in, and when you're looking at a ballot, are fans looking at statistics? I believe they're looking at name recognition, and that's how some guys got voted in, and Bryce Harper, no doubt, was one of them.
With all that being said, my question to you is, do you believe that they should get rid of the rule where every team needs to be represented at the All-Star game?
It is a good rule because you want to see a player from each team, so you want to be recognized. I just believe they need to build a roster a little bit more. What does it matter if you're adding three more players or five more players? The roster is the roster. You can add as many as you want, and I just think that needs to be expanded a little bit more, especially when you see snubs not getting in and players that don't deserve getting in are now in. So somehow, some way, Major League Baseball's got to look at this. They took the World Series home field advantage away, which I thought was a great move. So let's make this popular for the people that busted their tail the first half to get in and the fans who voted the players to stay in. So I think it has to be added in, but I think every team should be recognized.
Couple of the big snubs that stand out to me, and we can start in the American League. You and I talked about this off of the cuff. Blake Snell of Tampa Bay. He actually, this is a rare occurrence in today's game. This is a pitcher that starts and puts up the innings. He's got a 2.09 ERA, and he's tied for second in wins, and really third in opponent's batting average. It's 183, I believe, is what the opponent's batting average is, and he's not on the All-Star team. That's insane to me, Bill.
It is, and you got to look from where he's playing at. He's playing in Tampa Bay, not recognized by fans, not much of a fan base. So, you know, he's not popular in the Major League Baseball crowd. But again, statistics show how great of a pitcher he is. Even Archer came out on Twitter and Facebook saying, come on, people, recognize what he's been doing. I'm watching it daily. I'm watching start to start. And here's a guy that, you know, has hundreds of thousands of followers, and people need to recognize it. Matt Duffy's another one that played really well for Tampa Bay the first half with no recognition. So it's tough when the teams are in bad markets and you're not getting much press, but at the same time, look at the statistics. This guy deserves to be there.
Well, on top of that, you got a team like Houston that is so, I mean, they're so loaded with talent. I think Charlie Morton is a guy that is really undervalued in this Houston rotation. He has every right to be on this All-Star team. He has every right to be there just as much right as Verlander or Gerrit Cole, but it's Charlie Morton. It's not Cole and it's not Verlander. He's been fantastic this year, Bill.
100% agree. And what is he? The fourth starter of a five-man rotation? You just named, I mean, the two top pitchers for him. And, you know, you're looking at him going out there daily, every start pitching well, a well-deserved name, a well-deserved player that also got snubbed.
I'm a National League guy. I know you are as well. Who was the biggest snub for you in the National League?
Well, I got to look at Brandon Belt out here. I'm going to pull on him a little bit. He's had a great first half of the year. You know, he had an appendectomy. He was out for a couple weeks, but he's been the most consistent hitter for him. Within the last 10 days, he went 3-for-4 in a game against, I do believe, Colorado or maybe St. Louis here that really ripped it to the ball and hit a couple balls off the wall. This has been playing good defensively and offensively, but I know there's many more players out there. There's a few Dodgers as well as D-backs that got pushed away. But at the same time, you know, it's that time of year. Some guys will get in, some guys won't. But I keep going back to this. Add roster space. Add some more players. Make sure these players are recognized.
I agree. For me, it's Albert Amora Jr. And this is a kid from the Cubs that, again, he plays with a lot of big names. He gets overshadowed. But the fact is, we talk about Scooter Gennett batting .326. Guess what? Amora Jr.'s right there with him batting .326 as well. And he's a big reason as to why the Cubs have picked up the pace over the last month.
It sure has. And their offense is starting to pick up the pace. They're starting pitching with Hendricks is struggling a little bit. And, of course, Lester made the All-Star team. He's having a fabulous first half. The Cubs are in town now for playing the three-game sets against San Francisco, and it should be a pretty good series. At the same time, I agree with you. Here's a guy that's a no-name that's having a great first half, and again, the recognition isn't there. And you just don't know toward the end. Some guys might say, hey, I don't want to go to the All-Star game. Some guys will get added. But in the realm of it, when you're looking at statistics and how players are being played, he's one of them that should be recognized.
Bill, last question before I let you go. What's your favorite aspect of All-Star Week for Major League Baseball?
Oh, well, it's always the Home Run Derby. I like that. I like how they changed it. But, you know, I just think also, I think players should be voted in the Home Run Derby. They're telling Judge and Stanton aren't going to be in it. Those are two popular names. I do believe Bryce Harper's now going to do it. It's in Washington, a different ballpark. Of course, everybody's going to look at that. The Futures game is another thing I like to take a peek at. A lot of young players that you don't hear a lot about, they play a good game. And, I mean, it's just to a point where you see different faces, different names, and organizations that have some star power in their minor leagues.
Bill Lasky, again, former big league pitcher. Bill, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
At Lasky 19, and if you get on a podcast, we're on KNBR, the sports leader out here in San Francisco. You can take a peek out there, too, and KNBR.com. You can pick us up there. We'll be on Saturday, this coming Saturday, 12 to 3 Pacific Coast time. You can pick us up on KNBR.com, so give us a listen.
Bill, I always look forward to the conversations. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, next Monday we should talk divisions again, see who's the players, who's not, and also the All-Star game. That should be interesting to talk about next Monday.
It'll be a fun week, that's for sure, and hopefully by then Machado has a new home. That'll give us another storyline.
Well, you have a good week, my friend, and always good talking to you on Monday, and glad your listeners are listening.
Absolutely. Major League Baseball insider Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher with the Giants, and now, of course, works for NBC Sports Bay Area, covering the Giants. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.